Okay, this piece of Torah will help us to understand what it means to be a ben yeshiva who also is in college. And more importantly, it'll teach us what it means to be a person, as we were just talking a few minutes ago, you know, Mar Cheshvan, where life starts to set in, and we have to figure out how to balance kind of regular life with holy life. This piece of Torah is, to me, captures the essence of how one does that. And the opportunity to be busy with homework and papers and finals. And one day, Mirtz Hashem, you'll be busy with your profession, whatever that may be. This piece is really important. I'll preface it with a vart from one of the sons of the Imre Emes. It was the son of the Imre Emes, whose name was Rav Itcha. Rav Itcha passed away in his father's lifetime. The Imre Emes was the third Ger Rebbe. And the Chedushei HaRim, the Svas Emes, was the grandson of the Chedushei HaRim. Chedushei HaRim lost many, many children in his lifetime. Svas Emes was his grandson. Svas Emes, the son, was the Imre Emes. Passed away in 1948. The Imre Emes, his three of his sons were the next three Rebbes of Ger. The Beis Yisrael, the Leiv Simcha, and the Pnei Menachem. But there was another son, a very Halig Giyad, his name was Rav Itcha. Rav Itcha. So Rav Itcha once said the following part. He said, why is it that on Motzei Yom Kippur we clap, Slach Lanu, right? We davening Maror, we literally just finished Lifnei Hashem Titaru. We just came out of the most awesome cleansing day. We have a clean slate, and 2 seconds later, right, we're davening Maariv Shmona Esrei, and we're clapping Slach Lanu Avinu. What are we clapping? We're all clapped out, no? We did enough Hashamnu Bagamnas and Alchetz over the course of the day. I always found that to be a very interesting question. It's like one of these things, like, yeah, that's a really good question. There's a lot of interesting answers to the question. So Rav Itcha said the following answer. He said the reason that we clap Alchetz, or the reason we clap Slach Lanu, is because what Aveira happens. He says, throughout the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, when we say Kaddish, so we say Le'ela U'Le'ela. Right? Some shuls say Le'ela Le'ela or Le'ela U'Le'ela, right? As opposed to just the regular Le'ela. So the Chazan is so used to saying Le'ela U'Le'ela that when he says the Chatzi Kaddish before Shmona Esrei, he sometimes accidentally says Le'ela U'Le'ela. And because of that, because he messed up the nusach of the Kaddish, so we have to say Slach Lanu for messing up the nusach of the Kaddish. So, one of his brothers said, Rav Itcha was a very deep person. He wasn't just making late sums. That's what the whole shul is clapping Slach Lanu because the Chazan maybe messed up and he was used to saying La'ila U'Le'ila, and he said, instead of just going back to La'ila. So he said, what my brother was really saying was the following. The chait of La'ila U'Le'ila is this false perception that you could sometimes be la'ela u'la'ela always. What is la'ela u'la'ela? Above and beyond, right? So, in Chodesh Elul, we start to rise up, and then Rosh Hashanah, and then Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and then Yom Kippur, and we're la'ela u'la'ela, we're mamish, like beyond this world. We're like angels, we're dressed in white, and we're fasting. But after Yom Kippur, it's a chait, right? That's what he says, that's what my brother was really saying. It's a failure to not understand that a Jew has to descend from the world of La'ila U'La'ila into a world of La'ila. I always have to be La'ila. A Jew is always La'ila. A Jew is always striving for something big. But I have to know how to come back down from that world of La'ila U'La'ila. And if I don't know how to do that, if I don't know how to transition out of Tishrei to Cheshvan, so then unfortunately it can be very, very destructive. Rav Shlomo Volbi Zatzal has a beautiful mimer in his Sefer on Yom Naram, Yimei Ratzon. He says, what's the most dangerous part of space travel? He says, the most dangerous part of space travel is not blasting off into outer space. That part's relatively easy. What's the scary part? What's the dangerous part? It's the re-entry. The re-entry into the atmosphere is very, very dangerous because if your angle is not perfectly, you know, correct, if your speed, if your angle, if all the complex scientific mathematical calculations are just even slightly off, right? You'll combust. You'll explode. the pressure of just, you know, the re-entry into the atmosphere will cause the spacecraft to be ripped to shreds. Right? Same thing is true when you're flying an airplane, right? To learn how to fly, they say, for pilots, the hardest part, the most serious part, and the most dangerous part, and the hardest part, the most technically demanding part, is landing the plane. Getting the plane off the ground is not so hard. Landing the plane is very hard. So Rav Volbi said, on a Motzei Yom Kippur, he said, that's the Inyan of, also, that's the Inyan of, he didn't say Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, but for our sake, we'll say, that's the Inyan of Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. Figuring out, how do I land? Right? What do I do with all of his oiras of Tishrei? I was on a great high, Shana Yom Kippur, and now regular life is starting to feel very, very regular again. Right? Some tzaddikim explain, Mashiv HaRuach U'morid HaGashem. Right? There's an unbelievable Ruach in Tishrei. So now Mashiv HaRuach, the Ruach is, Mashiv is leaving us, U'morid HaGashem, and like this, the weight of the Gashmias is kind of just like, you know, the homework's piling up. That's Morid HaGashem. So we have to know how to deal with that. So in Parshas Noach, there's an unbelievable lesson of how to deal with it. Okay, so let's take a look. It's really one of my favorites from the Divrei Yisrael, the first Majitzer Rebbe, if I'm not mistaken, passed away in 1920. We're on page Mem, the top right corner says Mem. Okay, so make sure you're on the right side of the page. And we're in the right-hand column where it says, O Yomar, second paragraph. Okay? And what's he describing? He's describing Vayishalach es ha'orev, that Noach sent out the raven. Okay? Now, what that has to do with anything, we'll see. But he starts with something that his grandfather said. He says, Al derech hanal, when explained based on something I explained in the previous passage, but a little bit different. V'hu al pi divrei kodsho shel Adoni avi zakeini zatzal. I want to first relay to you a conversation that my grandfather, Rav Yecheskel of Kuzmir, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, once had with a chassid. Pam achas shalo chassid echad. Im la'asok b'maso umatan uvederach eretz im lo. A chassid once asked my grandfather, is it appropriate for a person who's a chassid? Now a chassid doesn't, yeah, again, a chassid means a chassid in a chassidish sense. But a chassid could also just mean, even if you're not, you know, you don't see yourself as a chassid, right? As a Jew who wants to be serious about Avodas Hashem, is a chassid. But a chassid once asked my grandfather, is it appropriate for a chassidish mensch to be involved in what? In masa umatan, in business? Should I be selling sneakers online? Right? No? What do you say? Is that a stira to being a chassid? No? Let me see. Okay, so is that a stira? Can I be a guy who's flipping shoes online to make a little side hustle and have payas and be a chassid? Is that a stira? Is that not a thing for a chassid? Right? Should a chassid be osek umasa matan ubederech eretz? Should I be involved in the ways of the world? Parnasa? Imlo. Right? All the chassidim who are working in Midtown Manhattan, are they like fake chassidim because they're working in Midtown Manhattan? Or the real chassidim because they're working in Midtown Manhattan? Should a chassid sit and learn? Should everyone be learning at Kolel? Anova Amar. So my grandfather responded, Bevadai tov v'yofe lechasidim shiasku b'derech eretz. Not only is it okay, it's good. It's a good thing. And he's not just offering, you know, sound financial advice. How are you going to pay your bills if you don't work? It's part of the curse of Adam Rishon. The person has to work. It's taking responsibility for your life. And again, I'm not criticizing Chas V'Shalom people who learn in Kolel. You have to figure out what works for you and how it works for you. But there's nothing wrong. He says, Tov v'yafe, it's Tov v'yafe for a chassid to be oisek in derech eretz. Why? Umi she'omer, look at this. Umi she'omer she'enu rotza lasok b'masa umata. A person who says, I don't want to be involved in business. Machmas shehu meniya la'avdus. Because it's a stira, it becomes a meniya, a blockage in my avodas Hashem. Eino yodeya bedarche chasidus klal. Doesn't know the first thing about what it means to really be a chasid. A chasid who's scared to get a job is not a real chasid. Wow. So what does that mean? A lot of us have learned chasidus before, right? We have certain impressions about what the message of the Baal Shem Tov was. So maybe your brain is going into like a Chabad way of thinking, you know? The Rebbe emphasized Dira B'Tachtonim, so maybe Dafka being involved in the world Right, is a way of bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashras HaShechina into Olam Hazeh dick of things. Is that what he means? What a strong lashon. A person who thinks that it's a stira to my Avodas Hashem, right, to have a profession, doesn't know the first thing about Chassidus at all. Kamosha Matzino, as the Gemara, really the Mishnah actually, in Kedushin tells us, Kol Sheyeshno B'mikra Uve Mishnah Uve Derech Eretz. Anyone who's involved in Mikra, he learns Shnayim Mikra, he learns Psukim, Mishnah, he studies Mishnayis, Torah Shebaal Peh, Uve Derech Eretz, and he's also involved in Derech Eretz, he has a job, he's running a business. Lo B'Veheira Hu Chote. The Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if you want to be a well-rounded human being, and a Jew who's guarded from chait, you need to learn, right? You need Torah Shebachsav, you need Torah Shebaal Peh, and you need Derech Eretz. You need to know how to interact with the world. You need to know how to make a living. Right? Derech Eretz in this context means Parnassah. And a person who does those three things, lo b'mehera hu chote, is not quick to sin. Shenemar v'achut ha-meshulash lo b'mehera yinasek. A three-ply cord is not easily severed. Shlomo HaMelech tells us in Koheles, right? If you go with a friend and someone starts up with you, then at least you have someone to fight back with. That's what Shlomo HaMelech says. Two can fight off an attacker, but a three-ply cord, right? A cord that's three ropes that are woven together is not easily severed. So when you have Mikra and Mishnah and Derech Eretz, when you have the big three, and you take all of them seriously, you take your learning of Torah Shebichsav seriously, you take your learning of Torah Shebaal Peh seriously, and you take your what? Your Olam Hazeh responsibilities seriously. So then lo b'mehera yinasek. You're not easily detached. It's not easily broken. Right? You're not easily broken. Your connection to Hashem is not easily broken. But we need to understand why that is. Yeah.
How exactly do you define Derech Eretz?
So we're going to translate Derech Eretz the way that I'm saying, just parnasa, making a living. But in your context, it also means taking your college classes seriously. Right? It means taking your schooling, your education seriously. These guys are pretty loud.
Yeah.
Is there a window open? Like behind that blind? Is there?
It's just really, really loud.
It's just really that loud. Okay, great. Okay. If you can't hear me, let me know and I will scream louder. Okay? So now, look what the Rebbe says. V'hinei chut ha-meshulash. Chut ha-meshulash means what? It means a rope that's tied together. Three, right? Three ropes that are interwoven, that are tied tightly together. You take three strands, and you weave them together. Right? Each one is interwoven with the other one. That's why we're using the mashal of rope. It doesn't just say, you know, again, Shlomo HaMelech in the beginning of that pasuk says when two guys travel together, right, so they can back each other up if they get into a fight. So it could have said, if three people travel together, they're even more of a posse. He gave the mashal of a rope, a three-ply rope. Three-ply cord, a rope that's made up of three strands, is not easily severed. Because the rope, each one is interwoven with the other one. Right? So what does that mean? V'af shekol chut levado eno chazak kol kach. Even though each strand on its own could be ripped apart, could be broken, but when you weave them together, ulam behischabram kol echad mechazik eschavero. When they're tied together, right? Even if you were to take apart the rope and you could pull apart the little strip, but when it's woven into this thick, heavy, you know, fisherman's rope, yeah, that holds the anchor, so to speak, you know, picture like a real thick rope, so no one can rip that apart. So that's the chut ha-meshulash lo b'mehera yinasek. Okay? V'chein misha osek b'mikra u'b'mishnu b'derech eretz, and this is the amazing chiddush, says the Rebbe, kol echad nosen koach v'chizuk l'chavero. Each one strengthens the other one. Your learning of Psukim strengthens your learning of Gemara. Your learning of Gemara strengthens your understanding of Tanakh. But the Chiddush, of course, is that what? That my business pursuits strengthen my learning, and my learning strengthens my business. Now, which side of that equation is easier to understand? Can you just pass one around? Yes.
Oh, yeah?
Shkach. It's easy to understand why my learning can strengthen my business, right? You could say it, Ba'ofen Siguli. It's a segula. If I take my learning seriously, Hashem will help me to get close some good deals. But how does my business help my learning? How does taking my business seriously help my learning? how does taking my college classes seriously make my experience in the base measures better? That's hard to understand. No?
I would think more like a symbiotic relationship.
In what way? Okay.
Because you shouldn't be like you're just learning and then you're doing this. Instead of being two separate things,
right. So again, so you're saying, but it's still flowing more. I mean, you're saying my Torah values and my Torah knowledge should influence the way that I run my business. Right? But how does the business, as the business, have a hashpah on the Torah? I hear what you're saying. Symbiotic relationship in the sense that when I practice what I learn, and that, you know, is manifest in the way that I do my business dealings, so then that spills back into my learning. And but it's really more the Torah values and my Torah hashkafa and Hilchos Ribbis and learning Chosh and Mishpat that helps me to run my business properly, al pi halacha.
Well, even not just the halacha, even this, more about the foundation of the moral,
right, but again, I still see that as Torah having a hashpah on the business.
But it's not like,
how does the business have a hashpah on the Torah? Okay, but the Rebbe's
good.
The Divrei Yisrael and his grandfather, Yechezkel of Kuzmir, are going to tell us a big chiddush of how the business actually enhances the Torah. That's a chiddush. Okay, another businessman. Let's hear it. Tell us your business. Not everyone knows your business. Tell us your business. Not everyone knows that you're involved in business. So tell everyone. Tell the chaver what you're involved in, unless you don't want to say.
Esports.
He manages an esports team.
So I feel like just like having a job and then being able to create time for learning afterwards gives you like a lot more pleasure than just like not having a job and learning regardless.
Interesting.
Now that you have a job, you may not have time, but making time
You're a Reva. You're basically a Reva. I can crown you Reva. Okay, so let's look inside. Rav Yaakov is saying something very deep. So let's look. Let's see. Hainu, bottom line of the right column. Hainu shemikra u'mishna nosnim koach la derech eretz. So the first side of the equation is much easier to understand. That the mikra and the mishna, that the learning influences my business. She'amasu matan kamo Torah. That my masu matam, my business, will be influenced by Torah. It'll be like Torah. In what way? Again, he's saying it more in a segula dika way. She'eina tachas hazman. Just like Torah is lamalim en ateva. So if I spend a lot of time learning Torah and mitzvot, if I'm living in a world that's beyond this world, that's what Torah is. So then hopefully in business, I'll also have success, which is lamalim en ateva. I'll see the hashgacha pratis that I got deals that I didn't really necessarily work on. Hashem sends things my way because I'm living, I'm living above, kind of the natural order of things. That's a life of Torah. Kach masa umatan lo yatachas hazman. My business should also operate beyond time, which means that even though some other fellow is putting in more hours than me, I'm doing better. Somehow I'm getting better deals than him because I'm living l'malo min hazman. He's in the world of zman, so he's working, 80 hours a week. But I tap into Torah, so I'm lamalim in Hazman, so I can work for a shorter period of time and make a lot of money. And I see it in my life. You talk to people who are involved in business, and I've heard it from so many people. When I'm davening seriously, when I'm learning seriously, I see how Hashem responds differently to me. Maybe I'm generalizing a little bit, obviously. You could have a great day of learning and davening and, lose a lot of money that day. Right? But I've heard from people that they know that when they're spiritually connected, they see the hashgacha pratis in their business. And when they're not as strong spiritually, they see that they're too busy with their business and it's not as successful. Va'af shelo yeha'eis hazos eis tova. So what does it mean your business is lamalim en hazman? That even if this is not a good time, right? You launch a product and it turns out that based on the market, it was actually not a good time to launch that product. It wasn't an eis tova lezeha masu matan. It wasn't the right time to get involved in that particular business deal. Mikol makom yarviach. Nonetheless, you'll see success because you're living lamalim en hazman. That's the seguladik nature of Torah. Kihu lamalim en hazman. Uvechein yuchal lilmod b'chol eis af b'shas hayurid. And you could become the type of person who's able to learn at all times, even during the Yerid. What's the Yerid?
The
what? No. The Yerid, it's funny. It's actually, I never thought of it as a Lashon, like Yerida. It's funny. But the Yerid was like the big fairs, you know, where everyone would go to sell. What do they call that today? Like when the trade shows. Yeah, the big trade shows. So you're the type of guy who could sit there looking in a safer. I mean, you have someone in the booth next to you who's like trying to get customers and he's trying to pull people in. And you're sitting there with your Mishnayos and people are walking up and they're interested in your product. You're able to learn because you're Lamala Minazman. And you're not nervous that because you're learning, it's going to take away from your parnasa. The opposite is true. It actually strengthens your business. So we understand how if you're connected to Torah, Torah will have a shpa on your business. Again, obviously on the most simple level, like Yekusiel said, which is that Torah values will influence the way that I run my business. But he's saying more again, in more of a spiritual way, the schus of the Torah will help your business to have, you know, otherworldly success. Okay. Okay. You're transforming yourself, and that will impact the way that I guess you run the business. Okay. Now, that's the easy part of the equation. How does the business enhance the Torah? Nope. How does the business enhance the Torah? So Rabbi Yaakov said a very deep thing. Rabbi Yaakov said, because when you're busy with your business, how did you say it? Say it again. What was your lesson?
And like, since you have a job, like, it's up to you to make time to learn.
Right.
You're making up that time will give you, like, a better benefit. Or
right.
Better
the fact that you're going to have to make the time to learn, and you're going to do that with a sense of Mesiras Nefesh, that's going to enhance the learning. The commitment to the learning is going to be that much greater. Yeah, Rabbi Yoni? Right. Right. There's a mile to both. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of chesronos to being in a secular college. I'd certainly bet, but there is something. There's a very, very, very deep truth to what you're saying, and I've seen it with my own eyes. I'll make a public confession. I went to Brandeis University for one semester back in the day before I switched to IU. And I saw there was a guy who I was in yeshiva with who had a very bad experience in Eretz Yisrael. Like, he was totally not into the learning, not into the davening. It was almost became less from in yeshiva, if you can imagine such a thing. And when we got to Brandeis, I was friendly with him from yeshiva, not super close with him, but when we got to Brandeis, all of a sudden, like, there was no pressure to anything. Like, there was no pressure to go to Minyan, there was no pressure to Seder, there was no pressure to anything. And he started coming to davening. And we learned Bichavrusa. We started learning Gemara together, which is like a huge chit, right? Because there was no pressure. I was invited once for a Shabbos to Maryland University. At University of Maryland, I was totally blown away by like the davening there on Friday night. It was very strong. Because there was a sense that anyone who showed up, right, is making a choice. They're choosing to be there in a different type of way. Here you have a morning program, you have things set up for you. Again, you're still making a choice by getting out of bed in the morning and showing up for shiur. But there's a different madrega of choosing it, right? When it's really a choice that you're making. So again, I think you made a good choice by coming to YU. I think overall it's the right choice. But you have to create that experience in YU for yourself also. Right? Meaning not to just rely on the fact that, oh yeah, whatever, there's you know, a lot of people learning around there. You have to choose it in the way that it's an authentic expression of making, you know, and maybe that means pushing yourself to learn a little night seder. Or maybe that means setting up a chavrus in between classes for 15 minutes, right? Maybe that's that type of experience. So listen to what the Rebbe says. The Rebbe Yisrael says, V'chein ha-masa u-mata no-sein koach v'izchazkos l'limud mikro u-mishnah. The business, the olam hazeh pursuits, enhances your learning. Why? Because if you're a Jew who genuinely appreciates and values Torah, so while you're at your business, when you're busy and you're doing what has to be done and you're taking care of payroll and you're closing the deals and you're following up with emails and phone calls, but if you're a person who genuinely values and appreciates Torah, it bothers you that you haven't had a chance to learn. You're eager to get back to the Beis Medrash. V'yesh lo hishtokikus lilmud. You start to feel that void in your life. And that void, if you respond to it in the right way, can be very, very powerful. Achar kach hishapona l'torah. So then afterwards, when he goes and he finds the time to learn Torah, right? Because he feels that he was outside the Beis Medrash for too long, and he comes back with a certain... Again, if you're a guy who's in yeshiva, so Beis Medrash is where that's my world, so I show up, and I show up. Whenever I show up, I come a little early, I come a little late, whatever it is, you know? I roll in, I roll out, I don't appreciate it. But when a person has so many real-life responsibilities, and they still find the time, like Yaakov said, to choose Torah, if they make it with a great hishtokikus to come back to the learning, right? When they have that half hour to learn, they're locked in. They could accomplish more in that half hour than a guy who's chilling during morning Seder for 4 hours because they're focused and they appreciate how busy they are and how important it is to capture these moments. There's a cheshek nimratz. There's this longing, this strong desire. So where did that come from? What created that drive for Torah? It was the fact that they were what? That they were so busy at the trade show for so many hours that they're so eager to get back. When they were in yeshiva, they didn't even have that same excitement for Torah. It's dafka when the Torah is kind of pulled away from them because they're so busy with all of regular life stuff that they come back to Torah, they come back to learning Torah in a very strong way. So me'ayin balo zeh, where did that feeling come from? Al yidei yishtokiris la'Torah, sha'hayo lo b'shas, sha'esek, sha'asak b'masu matan, v'nisbatal milimudo. When you weren't learning, that's when that hisoris was created. So again, a three-ply cord is not easily severed. It's not just that the Mishnah and the Mikra enhances the Derech Eretz, but the Derech Eretz, the time out of the Beis Medrash, can be brought back in to make a more energetic and a more meaningful Beis Medrash experience. Yeah?
Let's still apply the same logic. And one's obviously much more necessary than the other. Let's say I slept 20 hours a day.
Okay.
It would make that 4 hours that I was awake very, very little.
Right.
So I would have to eat hour, and now I only have 3 hours to learn.
Right.
So the sleep enables my...
Right.
The little amount of time that I had.
So you know the answer to that question. The answer is it has to be honest. Right? It has to be honest. It has to be balanced. Again, a person could take this to an extreme and say, okay, you know, I'll be koveya as my connection to Torah. I won't learn all year. I'll have one day a year where I learn like crazy that day. I'll learn 24 hours that day. Right, but the rest of the year, I'm just building the hishtokikus for that one day. So that's ridiculous. That's not what Hashem wants. And we're talking about a person who has real-world responsibilities, is running a business, understands that he has to go to the Yerid, he has to go to the trade show. Right? But he also understands that time outside of the Beis Medrash that's necessary, that he feels is necessary for his survival, right, can be brought back in, can be brought back into the Beis Medrash. Yeah, so everyone has to figure out, again, in a sensitive and honest, you know, truly honest way, what is that balance and how to do that. Yeah?
I think it makes the learning stronger, too, because you've been waiting for, like, that
right.
time where you're going to be tired out.
That's right. Even if he's exhausted, but he's...
In the safer, like, he's still, like, been trying
right?
to get
there. That's right. That's right. That's a tremendous statement of his values that he's saying, I'm exhausted after a long day. Right. There's something very beautiful about that. Right? You see a guy sitting in a Beis Medrash in a shul late at night, you know, after you know he had a long day, and he's trying to keep up with the daf, and he's like falling asleep over his gemara. But like, look how he's trying to be there. Look how much it look, you know. Hashem says, I appreciate that effort. Right? But again, that excitement for the learning could be created dafka by being pulled away from the learning, and it's really true. It's really, really true. If you're a person who has a genuine appreciation for learning, and life gets busy, and you're taking care of things that need to be taken care of in a responsible way, you come back to the Beis Medrash, and you're eager to throw yourself back into it. Yeah?
If you know you're going to fall asleep while learning, it's no worth it to go learn?
I don't know. It's a good question. I was once at a chabura with Rav Vatel Zilber, Zuchina Rebbe. So there was a young kid there. It was like someone brought along their son who was like a little bit young. So at one point, Rav Vatel says to him, he says, and it's all like Ramazim, so he says to him, he's like, you following? You know, you understand what I'm saying? And the kid like nodded yes. Rav Vatel's like, you don't understand what I'm saying. It's like, it's okay, you could say you don't understand what I'm saying, but I'll tell you this. He said, it's like a person who gets on a train and falls asleep. Right? You get on the train and you fall asleep. You still get to where you're supposed to go. Right? You get on the airplane, you fall asleep, and they wake you up. You wake up and the flight's over, and like, wow, I was in New Jersey, and now I'm in Los Angeles. Right? You slept through the whole flight, but you got to. So Rav Vatel said, like, it's fine. Even if you're not like following the shir, even if like you're falling asleep and you're not really understanding what's going on here, it's fine. Like you're still getting somewhere. You're still traveling. So there's a mila to a person. You know, even falling asleep over a sefer. There's a mila to that. There's another story I read once. I don't remember exactly what the nusach was, so I can't tell it. But also, there was someone who used to come to a daf yomi shir and fall asleep all the time. And he said, how does it go? What's the story? All right, what's the point? Oh, yeah. Right. So, I could get more out of it, obviously, but I'm making a statement. I'm making a statement that I'm exhausted, but it's still worth it to come, to drag myself out of bed, to get to the shir, and if I hear the first word and I hear the last word, also. And I'm showing my children that Torah is important.
Similar story, you know, from Scott, right? He's the only black senator.
Yeah, sure.
He said that when he was a kid, his grandfather used to always have him read the newspaper in front of him and everything. And then one day he found out, I think after his grandfather died, that even though he was always reading the newspaper, he actually couldn't read it.
Oh, wow.
He was just pretending to read it so his grandkids.
Whoa.
That his grandfather would read the newspaper and show his grandkids.
That's an awesome story. And he was encouraging him to get an education. He said, I'm illiterate, but I want that one day my grandson should be able to. That's a chashuv story. That's a chashuv story. Wow. Okay, so we should all just like, you know, keep open like svarim we don't understand around us. Like with as a tefillah that maybe one day we'll be zochah to understand and our children and our grandchildren will be
zochah. I thought we spoke about the other day. That's like too much faking.
Obviously he taught him that you can strive for more. That's beautiful.
Like setting a positive example, I was reading a certain article about the shuls and saying that you always have to ask, it's such as me or something, or the tower or my buffalo or something, you always have to act in the shul, even if you're not as rough, even if you're not feeling it.
You never know who you're influencing. It's very strong. I hear that. Okay, the Rebbe in the next paragraph, he compares it to a child. He says, why is it that sometimes a poor child has greater koach than a rich child? And he says it's because the poor child, he doesn't have so much food, that when he gets food, right, he's able to draw from it greater, you know, connection to it. He's able to take from it in a stronger way because he's so hungry. And he says the same thing is true. When we're starving for Torah, he says, and we come back to Torah, when we're hungry for the bread of Torah and we're thirsty for the drink of Torah, when we come back to it, it's that much sweeter. Okay, let's go to the bottom paragraph on page Mem, bottom left-hand corner. V'gam ki be'eis she'omed b'shuk u'botel midivrei Torah azai eino nechshav be'enei atzmo l'klum. There's another thing in terms of one's midos that one gets from the marketplace. And again, this may or may not resonate with us. Some of us maybe more than others. Right? But there's also something, again, you have to be pretty serious about avodas Hashem. That's why I'm saying this is a little bit of a high madrega. But when you're standing in the marketplace and you're not learning Torah, and even though you think you're a big shot because you're closing deals and you're making a lot of money and you're right, but you should also remind yourself that you were created to learn Torah. That's not to say that you shouldn't have a job. That's not to say that you shouldn't make a living, right? But if you're really a person who values what's important in this world and it's not money, it's Torah, So a little bit you feel like nebuch that I'm in the marketplace. And it should be a humbling experience. He says, when a person is botel midivrei Torah, as I eino nechsha ve'ene atzmo klum, if you're thinking about Rav Shechter sitting in the Beis Medrash, right, while you're out selling your product, whatever it is, or you're sitting in some office, right, you should think, ay, chaval, how did my fate end up that I'm sitting here, you know, spending my whole day in Yoni Olam Hazeh, right, when someone else is spending the whole day learning Torah. Ki b'ma yizgaya, with what should a person be haughty? Right? Again, we often do the opposite. We think, nebuch, that loser who couldn't make it in the world is sitting and learning, right? Because he wasn't smart enough to become a doctor or a lawyer or a businessman, right? So nebuch for that guy. But the truth is, no, nebuch for us. Nebuch for us that we're so connected to the world and not in Torah. So if a person really values Torah and mitzvos, a little bit he should be humbled by the fact that he's been away from the Beis Medrash. Uvezeh poshet es nivlasom, haynu hageyus. And in doing so, he rids himself, he frees himself from what? From his nivlasom. I'll tell you what he means by that. He quotes the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim says, on daf kuf yud gimel amet aleph, pshot nevela b'shuk. You should skin a nevela, a carcass, in the marketplace. Now, it's a whole series of interesting Gemaras, interesting teachings over there. The Gemara says it's better to take a menial job than to depend on others. The Gemara says if you're skinning an animal, you should skin a carcass in the marketplace. Right? All sorts of interesting Gemaras. So, says the Rebbe, what is skin a carcass in the marketplace? Nevela means like a dead, right? It's goof. It's a dead animal carcass. It's just body. It's just flesh. It's lacking the shama. So pshot nevela, you should be able to what? To free yourself, to skin, to free yourself from your carcass in the marketplace. What does that mean? Pshot perish. Pshot nevela, skin a carcass. Uvama, how do I skin a carcass? In the shuk. What does that mean? Hainu al yedei hashuk. That through my experience in the shuk, turn the page, flip over. Yachol lifshot es nivlaso, hainu hageyus. I should be able to what? To free myself from, I should be able to remove some of what? Some of the dead weight, which is what? Which is gaiva. Right? A person sometimes is so into their body, if you only realize your body is going to turn back to dust, it's such a humbling experience. So the marketplace could actually help a person to what? To free himself from his gaiva. Again, most people, it's the very opposite. That's why this is a sort of a lofty level. Most people, they think, you know, when they're successful in the world, that's when they become more and more inflated. But I should realize, oh, how many hours am I wasting of my short life in this world on what? Right? And that should help me to free myself from my unrefined physicality and to want to be more neshamadik. V'im kein achar kach, achar zeh, I'm sorry. Kisha osek b'torah, hu miskayemes b'yado. And therefore, by freeing myself from my own gaiva, by de-emphasizing my body and becoming more aware of my neshama and feeling sorry for my neshama, that will make me a better learner. You know why? Because gaiva is the antithesis of Torah. How do you know that? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael, who brought the Torah to the world, is also Anav Mikol Adam. So humility is a key to success in Torah. So by going to the marketplace and by being humbled by the fact that I have to spend so many hours, waste so many hours, right, doing deals in the marketplace, that'll make me humble, and that'll help me to be more successful in Torah. Because the Torah says, Lo bashamayimi, the Torah is not in the heavens, which Chazal understand to mean, Lo timtza begasei haruach. If you think you're a big shot, that you're up in the shamayim, if you carry yourself like you're in the heavens, then you're not going to have success in Torah. V'imkein lefi zeh hamasa umatan hu siyua gadol lelima Torah kamuvan. And therefore, that humbling experience in the marketplace will help refine your character, your midos, if you understand the marketplace in the right way, and what the lesson is, and that'll help you to be more receptive to Torah. Yeah.
It's also like kind of directing towards someone who could be like a big shop learner, like in the Beis Medrash, but like now, like, he's like nothing, he's not in the Beis Medrash right now.
In a certain sense, you know, we all know stories of people who, you know, who became very great, successful learners and were very close to not, you know, pursuing that path. Right? I'm saying, you ever heard Rav Moshe Weinberger talk about, like, you know, how he became a rabbi? Or Arya Leibowitz? I'm saying, like, we're talking about big people who, like, mamish changed the world through their teaching of Torah and Avodas Hashem, and like, they were all, you know, a few steps away from choosing a different path. You know, so you have to, in the marketplace, you have to be humbled by that possibility. Like, you know, like, maybe, I don't know, maybe, like, I don't belong here. Again, everyone has, like we said before. But I want to read you an amazing, passage from the Chai Adam. Okay, Rabbi Judah Michelle Shlita has in his book. It's the book, or Judah will be happy if I plug the book. Okay, so everyone should go out and buy Baderach. So he has a section where he talks a lot about this inyan, of being able to engage in Avodas Hashem while in the world. And he quotes from the Hakadama of the Chai Adam. The Chai Adam of Avram Danzig, okay, was related to the Vilna Gaon through marriage. It was a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. But what's remarkable is that most of his life, he never took on a rabbinic position. He was certainly ro'i lakach, to be a rabbi. But he never wanted to take a salaried rabbinic position. So what did he do? He was a businessman. And he would travel on business. The Chai Adam. And he writes in the Hakdama to the Chai Adam, which is a very chashuv work of halacha. Most people today don't study the Chai Adam straight, but you go back, you know, a couple of generations, like that was the book. Before there was like a Mishnah Brura, people learned Chai Adam. You know, Kitzur Shacharar, Chai Adam, it's like a very chashuv accepted work of halacha. And again, it's quoted all the time in the Mishnah Brura. It's you know, it's mainstream halacha. So he writes, Rav Avram Danzig was his name. So he writes in the Hakdama to the Chai Adam, this is the translation. In Rav Judah's book on page 386. As the sages of the Gemara have already stated, lo timsa lo basachronim v'lo batagr. One does not commonly find knowledge in businessmen and merchants. It's Gemara in Erevin and Daf Nun Hey. I know people will murmur about me. This is what he's writing in his own Hakdama to his own Sefer of Halacha, which speaks for itself. But he says, I know people are going to question if I have a right to publish a Sefer. I know people will murmur about me. We know that he was one of the merchants in Frankfurt and Leipzig for over 15 years. When did he learn Torah? A businessman. He's not a rabbi. He's putting out a sefer. I say about myself. Listen to this. He testifies. He says, I want to testify in my Hakadama to my sefer. I say about myself. Although I traveled far and was engaged in trade, my Torah has stayed with me. Da'ati aleha. I would think of it when I traveled. And as I sat in my shop, da'ati aleha, my mind was upon it. To my credit, even while I was engaged in a business transaction, I would often be thinking of an aspect of Torah interpretation or a question. Da'ati aleha. My fellow merchants can testify that even when traveling in Leipzig, I took along a Gemara, Mishnayis, and a Chumash, learning every free moment, even during the fair. I swear by my life that I'm not writing this to be arrogant or to boast. I write this only to say that the merchants who travel, and particularly during the fair, right, the Yerid, are making a big error when they joke that they are not bound by the mitzvos and can't learn. This is not the way of the Torah. Don't tell me you can't become a Talmud Chacham in the marketplace. Don't tell me you can't become a Talmud Chacham by learning in between, you know, in between your business meetings. He says, I'm not here, I'm not trying to brag. But there's a way that a Jew can be what? Can be connected to Torah, even when he's osek in other things. There was a Yid who once came to the Rebbe Rayatz, the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he said, Rebbe, you know, I was learning for a long time. I was always a zochet to learn for a long time, but I needed to start a business because my family was growing. I needed parnassa. So he says, I opened a shoe store. And he says, ever since I opened the shoe store, I don't feel like a yid. I don't feel like an emistic yid. I'm so busy with, you know, my parnassa that I feel like I'm losing my connection. I'm so pained by it. So the Rebbe Rayatz, the Friedrich Rebbe, said to him, he said, I know that people put their feet into their shoes. But until I met you, I never met someone who put their head into their shoes. You're saying that. You can keep your head out of your shoes. Right? You can be busy with your business. You can keep your head out of your shoes. Right? But why you can and that's what the Chai Adam was able to do. He said, I'm a businessman. But I'm also a Talmud Chacham. And it's not a contradiction. And if you're making excuses that no, I can't, it's too hard to pick up my Mishnah, why? Why is it too hard to pick up a Mishnayos? Imagine if you committed yourself right now, and I'm not putting pressure on anyone, but imagine if you committed yourself to find somehow a way, you know, when you're going from one class to another class, to learn a Mishnah. Maybe that's too hard. How about to say a parak of Tehillim in between classes? Right? Imagine if you did that every, like after, you know, in between, you had a little pocket Tehillim, or a little pocket Chumash, and you read one pasuk between, while you're making your way from one class to the next. Imagine how good you would feel when you made that seal, you know? When you were zochet to have davened over all of Tehillim. Over the court. Maybe it'll take you, I don't know, 3 years in YU to finish it. But imagine, you chop it. Will that not be sweeter than, you know, than everything you learned in the morning? It will be. Because you're choosing it at a time that's not so simple. And that's what makes it sweet. So, Chaver, let's finish the piece. Let's come back into the world of Noach in a second. Hayotze lanu mizeh. We have two paragraphs left. Hayotze lanu mizeh. Shal yedei hamasu umatan acher zeh kishapona lilmur humotze tam arev umatok bilimudo. When a person is busy with business and then he turns himself, pona means to turn, he turns himself back to Torah, he finds a tam, he finds a taste that is what? That is so sweet. We daven every morning in Birchas HaTorah, we say, v'ha'arevna, Hashem, make it sweet. Your time in class, even though it seems to sometimes like make life so chaotic and distracting, but it actually makes my learning sweeter. K'di'isa b'keser Shem Tov, as is brought in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. Explaining the Maimer, explaining the Gemara that says, Pa'amim shebitula shel Torah zo yisoda. Sometimes bitul Torah helps to what? To create a foundation for Torah. What does that mean? Shal yedei achila ushasiya ve'esek umatzo matan. All the time I spend eating and drinking and doing business. All the time that I'm sort of, again, pulled away from it. Shemisbatala adam elimu Torah. Az nocha ha'neshama mi'eslavusa. The neshama feels that it wants more, it craves Torah, it wants to come back. When the neshama feels like the body is getting so much attention, what about me? The neshama cries out, and you feel that, if you're connected, you feel that. And then you give the neshama the attention it wants, and it feels so good about itself. And you feel so good about yourself. He quotes the pasuk in Yechezkel, that Rabbi Nachman speaks about very famously, V'achayos ratzo v'shov. Right, that the chayos, the angels, are ratz of a show, are coming and going. But you know what? Sometimes the coming and the going, when I'm away from Torah, then I'm able to come back to it, I come back that much stronger. I'm able to come back energized. So now, here's the punchline. V'hine yadua ha'inyin shlichas ha'neshama l'olam hazeh hu'kidei shalot tochol naham d'chisufa. Why is the neshama sent to this world? It's a famous philosophical Jewish question. Why does the neshama have to come to this world? Why can't Hashem just give us olam haba, give us rewards? And the answer is because if you don't earn something, you can't appreciate it as much. In the language of Sifrei Chassidus for Kabbalah, rooted in the Zohar, Nahama de Chisufa. Nahama de Chisufa means what? Nahama means bread. Chisufa means shame. The bread of shame. Right? If a person doesn't have food and they go to the soup kitchen and they get a free meal, right? They're happy that, Baruch Hashem, they're able to get something to eat, but it's a little embarrassing. I'd rather make a living and be able to buy my own bread. So Hashem sends us to this world so we can earn our chelek in whatever is beyond this world. That we shouldn't get free handouts. Right? If your parents are very rich and they give you a credit card, right, and you, I don't know, or they buy you a nice car, right, so you can only enjoy it so much. But if you work, you know, if you work in the summer and you save up and you buy yourself a used car, that's not nearly as nice, but you'll enjoy it so much more because you earned it. You worked for it. So Hashem sends us to this world to earn our chelek in the world to come. So now, let's go to our pesukim. Zeh sheramaz, so this is what's hinted to in the pasuk. Vayishalach esa orev, that Noach sends out the raven. He wants to see, is the earth dried up? Vayishalach esa orev, vayetze yatzo v'shov. Noach sends out the orev, and the orev is what? It's coming and going. It's circling, Rashi says, yatzo v'shov, it's circling the teva. Right? Can't find anywhere to land. So he explains, the Rebbe explains, Divrei Yisrael explains. Vayishalach es orev, he sends out the raven, vayetze yatzo v'shov. Perish, vayishalach, ratzalomar, ha'inyan shlichas ha'neshama l'olam hazeh. Why did Hashem send our neshama to this world? And why am I sometimes sent out of the Beis Medrash? Right? Again, if all of, you know, if wherever my neshama was before I came down to this world, it was kind of like in, you know, in the Beis Medrash, so to speak. And now I get sent down to this Alma de Shikra, this Meshuggah Novelt. Why am I? Why did I get kicked out? Why do I have sometimes to leave the Beis Medrash right? To go to my college classes or to go to my parnasa or whatever it is. Vayishalach, what's a lomar? Ha'inyan shlichas ha'nesham lo'olam haza, hu k'day es ha'orev. Obviously, the pashup shot means vayishalach es ha'orev, he sent the raven. But orev is a lashon of what? Of arevus, of sweetness. Vaharevna. Sometimes when you're sent out, it gives you the opportunity to come back and it's so much sweeter. It's through that struggle that a person is able to what? To come to a much deeper appreciation of what Torah is. Because before your neshama came down to this world, you'll say, "Why do I now I'm down in this world, and I'm trying to figure out how to learn Maseches Makos, and I have this huge Rashi, and it's so intimidating, the words are so hard, and the concepts are so confusing. In Shemayim, my neshama understood all this stuff. So why do I have to come down here to struggle?" And the answer is because through the hard work, lefum tzara agra, and according to the pain is the gain. Through the struggle, will hopefully lead to the success, the appreciation. So in Shemayim, we were eating shameful bread, we were getting free handouts, and it's not as sweet. She'eno matuk lechech. It's not as sweet to the palate. Lechein nishlecha l'olam hazeh shetimsa tam arev u'masuk b'avodasa. So Hashem sent us down to this world. When you're forced to go to work and you come back to the Beis Medrash, you can come back and say, "Wow, I have such an appreciation. When I see the way that some people in the world choose to live their life." Right? I talk to my brother-in-law sometimes. He's a lawyer. And he's also a very serious Eved Hashem. And he's just like, you can see an appreciation that he has for his Yiddishkeit because he works with so many people whose whole life is nothing other than making another dollar. And he's not interested in that. He makes a parnasa, makes a nice parnasa. He supplies for his family, you know? He provides for his family. But like, he's able to have such an appreciation of learning dafka because he gets into that world for a little bit and then is able to come back and to appreciate what it is to be part of the Jewish community, what it is to be B'nai Torah. Such a privilege. It's such a sweetness. It's the yatzo v'shov. It's the coming and going that makes it pleasurable. I know al yedei vayetze yatzo lefalm the pragmatia. When you go to your pragmatia, means your business. Vishov miyad the Torah. Al yedei ze motze tam arev umatok belimudo. Besod vachayos ratz vishov. Like the angels that in Shemayim themselves are ratz vishov. They want that experience of coming and going, to mix it up a little bit, to keep it sweet, to keep it pleasurable. That's how the masa umatan enhances what? Enhances our Torah experience. That's how our you know, sometimes burdensome olam haza pursuits can actually help us to be better Jews. And of course, what's the end of the pasuk? He sent the raven back and forth, ad yavoshes hamayim. And the Rebbe says, if you look at just the last paragraph, top of the left-hand column, ad yavoshes hamayim, he says yavoshes, until the water is dried up. Yavoshes is the letters what? Tishbi. Who's Tishbi? Eliyahu Hanavi. Right? Eliyahu Tishbi. Tishbi. It's a reference to what? It's a reference to Eliyahu, which Rashi actually says is that the same raven that was flying around Noach's Teva but somehow appears later in Malachim Aleph when there's a terrible drought and a terrible famine and the ravens are bringing food to Eliyahu Hanavi to sustain him, food and water to sustain him. Right? That same raven somehow reappears much later in Tanakh. But the Rem is the idea of what? This hint to Eliyahu, both in the words Yavoshes, which is the letters Tishbi, and the fact that the same raven makes an appearance later on, where? By Eliyahu. Eliyahu, of course, is Mashiach. Eliyahu is the harbinger of Mashiach. V'remez ad yavoshes, haynu ad sheyavo Eliyahu. This is what life in this world is supposed to be. A combination of learning and earning and going back and forth and doing both of them properly until Eliyahu comes. Ad sheyavo Eliyahu, ye avodas habori b'derech hazeh. Until Mashiach comes. This is how we're... You're not a bidyavid person if you live this way. Shaz lasilavo ya yom shekula Shabbos umenucha, right? Lasilavo is yom shekula Shabbos. Ain't going to work on Saturday. We're not going to work on Shabbos. But in this world, going back to what we started with, can I be a chassid who also has a business? Said Rav Yechezkel Kuzmir, it's yafe v'tov for a chassid to have a business, to understand how my engagement of the world can actually help me to be a better Eved Hashem. Okay, so again, sometimes we feel like, you know, we're forced to do things that we don't want to do. We have too many burdensome responsibilities in the world. But try to think about how they can help to enhance my connection to Hashem and to Torah. And at the time outside the Beis Medrash makes the time in the Beis Medrash that much sweeter. Okay? It's a gewaltig pisatar. Any other thoughts? No, Ephraim, you're a businessman. Any thoughts? What do you say?